Welcome back to the Craftery Podcast. You might know that there was a little intro now. We've decided to change. Instead of me just saying welcome back and going into whatever rambling I do at the time, that's always different. I'm going to try to keep it consistent. But we're on to the second edition of Christian's Corner.
Yay!
Christian, what are we talking about this time?
This time we'll be talking about ethics and sourcing materials ethically for your small business, and trying to be careful about that, and knowing where that, you know, you're not perfect and that there are going to be times where you will get stuff that you might not have liked how it came to you, but you didn't know.
Right. Okay. So we're going to talk about business ethics, specifically sourcing. I don't know why we're having that. Okay, we're live. We're good. So, before we jump into that, how was working on those beavers that have dropped last week as you're listening to this? So you missed out.
Yeah, they were not fun to work on. They were the biggest knives I've done in a production batch. For those of you who don't know what that knife is, it's the chopper that I make. It's got a 10-inch long blade and an 8-inch long handle. And it's designed that way, if you choke up on the handle, it'll be fairly well balanced, or you can grab the handle further down and it'll have enough weight going forward to chop really, really well.
So you don't want a two-handed.
You can, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Fair enough. So that gets us into sourcing. There is a lot of handle material on the beavers. If you guys haven't seen the Lycian beaver, go check it out. It's a monster, but like, it's easily twice the average size of a knife scale.
Yes. I was actually looking at it the other day, the average knife block, if you're going to get a block to rip into scales or whatever, for those of you who don't know, it's like 1.5 inches wide by 4.5 to 5 inches long by about 1 inch thick. And that's the average size block. And so you'd rip that into two and, you know, flatten it, and you're down to about a little over 1/3 of an inch on either side of the scale then. Well, the beaver, by contrast, has to be 8 to 8.25 to 8.5 inches long minimum by 2.5 inches wide, and probably 1 inch thick to 1 1/8 inch thick for a block, or like 0.4-ish for a set of scales. And finding natural materials that are real high quality of that size is not easy to do.
Yeah.
So, and it's even more difficult to find it where you can get it and not feel bad about where it came from, or, you know, what may or may not have been done to acquire the material. So figure we can jump into what I mean when I say that.
Yes, exactly.
So when I say sourcing stuff ethically or not feeling bad about where stuff came from, for those of you who don't know, there's the biggest thing a huge thing for a knife maker is having a variety of handle material. A lot of guys like to have a huge variety. Even customers will have a stock of handle material that they'll send to makers to use.
Yes.
Well, there's a ton of these burls and woods that you can find on the market now that come from overseas, be it Asia or sometimes even in Europe and things like that, but a lot of times they're like Indonesia,
South America,
stuff like that. And they're absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. The problem is that a lot of times where those are coming from is there are some that are sourced ethically where, you know, they're gotten lawfully where they're at. But a lot of times it's also guys will go back and essentially poach these burls off these trees off of property that's not their own, or that they don't have permission to do it. And they do it in a manner that also kills the tree, and they just don't care and leave. And then it's a whole big deal. And they'll do that to endangered species as well. And so, it's hard to figure that out from a maker's end, at least with the down the line where we are. It's hard to figure out whether or not it was sourced ethically or not.
Right.
Personally, I try not to deal with much that's not from the States. I deal with some South American woods, but I try not to deal with anything that's sites regulated. I have some Cocobolo and some Brazilian rosewood that I know have been in the States since like the 70s. So they were, at the time at least, it was legal and ethical to source them and ship them and everything else. But a lot of burls I just don't get because I don't want to have any part of that.
Right. So with that being said, people will go on to, you know, just a random property, cut off the burl, and the burl is just that mangled growth coming out of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll just chop that out,
yeah,
clean it up, and then sell it to people.
Yeah. And so not only will that normally kill the tree, but also then the tree's just left there for the property owner to deal with, whether it falls over or anything else. And so it's just not, it's not how I would like to source my materials, or at least not where I want my stuff to come from, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So when you're looking at sourcing handle materials like mm-hmm. that, are you looking at feedback from other makers? Are you looking on websites? Are you looking through companies? How do you do that?
So a lot of times, a lot of those foreign burls and stuff, specifically foreign burls, I don't mess with.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I can't know that it would go through too many hands by the time it gets to me.
Right.
And I don't want to run the risk. And that's my personal choice. You could, I'm sure, take and trace the stuff back and find sources and all the way back down, but it'd be very time consuming and difficult. And you'd have to do that with every distributor you come across.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, what I do is I try and source stuff that I either know has been in the States for a long time, or has been, or is from the States, or is not endangered, or has any legal issues with getting into the States. There is actually some guys who I don't buy from anymore, where I bought, there was one guy in particular, I'm not going to say his name, obviously, but I took and I've
sent it.
Huh?
Send it.
No, I'm not going to.
Okay.
but I bought one thing, I bought a set of desert ironwood scales from him and some maple roll when I was first getting started. Nothing sketchy at all. Perfectly fine. But later on down the line, I found out that he has been accused on multiple occasions of selling illegally sourced woods. And his take on it is, well, the guys who, it's not legal for me to buy it from the guys who I get it from, so therefore it's perfectly fine. But the guys who they get it from might have gotten it illegally.
You're right. So he's just like, I'm the middleman. You can't get mad at me for selling this. It's totally legal for me to own it.
Yeah. And it is, it's, you know, that is totally legal. The way he came about owning it might be legal, but to me, it's very similar to buying and selling stolen goods in a way, and which is illegal, but I just don't want to deal with it. I don't want to support that. And so I don't buy from him, but that's why I'm working towards buying more walnut burl, maple burl. I think black ash burl is a U.S. or North American wood, isn't it?
I would think so. I don't know off the top of my head. That sounds, yeah, or Canadian.
Desert ironwood, a lot of the more U.S.-based ones, and if I don't, I try and do as much research on as I can of where it came from.
So with that being said, how do you regulate the people in the States that you buy from? Because the same thing could happen here.
It could.
It's not as likely, but no, it could.
It could. It's the chance of it's just a lot less likely.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much, much, much lower chance. And you still have to be careful with what you get into as far as quality goes. There's a lot of guys who will go cut a burl off a tree that's down or dead or whatever and cut in half, take a picture of it and sell it and ship it out to you saying that it's completely dry. It's been sitting up for a long time. Had one guy do that to me, which was fun. Had a big old cookie burl that I took and sent off to, or I had shipped straight to the guy to get stabilized, and he was going to cut it up to stabilize it. And it gets there, and the guy's like, yeah, this is completely soaking wet.
Mm-hmm.
And so it turned out like I got like a block out of it, and that's it, because it cracked all over the place and just was horrible.
So that's another thing about sourcing and ethics. Watching out for buzzwords, catchphrases,
mm-hmm.
The hot ticket items. People like to make a buck on any way. So what are some things that you look out for to give you those little red flags when you're sourcing, or is it just experience over time?
So, like I said, for me, it's hard to find exact good red flags. I haven't found any good specific red flags for a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, if guys are wanting to sell it, but their pictures are either highly edited or they don't want to take a ton of pictures, anything like that, I generally stay away from it. And when I do find a guy who I find to be reputable, I generally stick with them. I buy a lot more material from them. I source more stuff from them. Mm-hmm. And I get from them more consistently because I know they're, and they'll tell me how they get their wood. If I ask them like, oh yeah, where did you get this? And they don't want to tell you. Mm-hmm. Or if they tell you something that, you know, is so absurdly like weird that doesn't make any sense. For example, they're like, oh yeah, I bought it from, I bought it when I was, let me see. Oh, if, I'm trying to think of a good story here.
I got it from Joe Smo's family farm.
Yeah.
Back in 08.
Yeah.
Type of deal.
Yeah, to some degree, but it's more so if they're willing to tell you, a lot of times they're generally good. Mm-hmm. Guys who don't want to tell you, that's an immediate red flag, obviously.
Those guys are like not wanting to share. Not that they're trying to keep a secret, but not wanting to be open about it or take too many pictures. They know either A, something's wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
B, they didn't get it as, you know,
yeah,
a place they probably should have.
Yeah.
So what are you doing as a business right now with your sourcing? Are you just trying to find, like you said, find North American, find a couple quality distributors and then getting it from them, or are you still buying from companies like Jantz, Pops?
So I don't buy a lot of wood from Jantz or Pops. What I've moved to doing is I found a guy who can stabilize stuff for me and does an absolutely fantastic job. Mm-hmm. And so what I generally do is I order these big pieces of either curly maple, maple burl, Clara walnut, redwood burl, stuff like that. And I send that off to him. Where I might get in here and I'll rip it up into blocks and then set off to get stabilized and do it that way. It's just a lot easier for me because then instead of having it, that issue of, you know, oh, well, he got it from this person, he got it from this person, he got it from this person, he got it from this person. Generally, you don't have entire cookies get passed down the line like that. It's more so when you get down to like your scales or your smaller blocks and stuff. The bigger the piece is, the less likely it is to have gone through
multiple people.
Right. Because it's going to be more hassle for them to move it.
Right. Yeah. And then, I mean, it's a little bit more hassle mm-hmm. doing it the way you're doing it, but it's also you get to control the end product because you get to choose the guy that's doing the stabilizing.
Mm-hmm.
You can be like, hey, I want some green, some blue, some this. You don't have to go searching for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what the burl or the grain looks like beforehand.
Yeah. Well, and also, if I get a piece in that's got, you know, if half of it is absolutely top grade stuff and half of it is absolutely poop, I can use only the good half, where some other guys might rip it or might cut it in the opposite direction. So each piece has some absolutely amazing wood in it, but in the end product, you're not going to see that much, but it'll help it sell because it has that amazing little bit in it.
Yeah. Which that's a whole nother, we'll probably touch on that topic on the next Christian's Corner of business ethics, but this one we're talking about sourcing and maintaining your integrity as a business yourself. So those are some of the things that you're doing ethically. When you're reaching out and trying to find these guys, how are you finding people?
So honestly, I do a lot of it on Facebook through different wood trading sites or on wood trading groups on Facebook. And generally, if you just hop on to a couple of them and don't buy anything for a bit. Just talk to people or read posts, read comments and stuff. You'll find out that there are some people who have a name for doing stuff that might not be super, super savory, shall we say. It's not necessarily what you want. And some people don't mind buying from that. That's up to them. This is all my personal take on it.
That's why we gave you a whole corner. So you could talk about your personal take on things.
This is my personal take on it. If another maker is listening to this and you disagree with me, that's perfectly fine. That's, you know,
send the hate mail to me.
Yeah, do whatever you want. this is just my personal take on it. And I'm not trying to be holier than thou or nicer or better than thou or whatever. I don't care. It's just what my personal point of view where I want to be. But generally, if you just hop onto those groups, read posts, maybe even ask about certain people, it'll generally come out of the woodwork pretty quickly, especially if you go into multiple groups and you ask about people from a different group. And people who are in one group might not give you the honest opinion because they might all be buddies. go to a different group and ask about them, the other people, ask if anybody knows them, you might get a different side of view. So it's always important to try and get as many viewpoints from a customer's perspective as you can.
Right. Which, I mean, that's huge, is because there's been plenty of times in my career where I'm like, wow, X person did this amazing thing. This is awesome. And then, you know, another group maybe 2 months later is like, do you remember when this happened? And it's like Schwarmageddon, where everybody's jumping in with negativity. And it's like, they did this.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't change your views because you only have your views. But it's also like, you would have never knew that if you didn't ask those questions.
Or stuff where it's like, you know, in one group, a guy might have, he might have been kicked out of a different group for doing shady practices. And he might be in a new group. And in that group, he hasn't done anything shady yet. But then you go back and ask the other group, they're like, oh yeah, no, he's shady. He's shifty. Like, you don't deal with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then a new group, you ask about him, they're like, oh yeah, he's had like a couple deals. He's good to go. Like, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But in reality, that's not his whole backstory, his whole history.
Right. So you're kind of doing some Southern grandma sleuthing.
A little bit,
when you're trying to find the source.
a little bit. And it definitely is more time consuming. And it's a pain in the butt, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, when I first saw how you did it, I'm like, well, it works because you're getting some top quality woods. But I also see how much it's A, not being processed because of, like you said, the poop wood.
Yeah.
It's
more than what a lot of people would expect.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you're getting in these slabs and you're getting, you know, 100% yield, when in all actuality, I think I got a slab in it not too long ago, and I'm like, well, I get 3 solid blocks out of this 8-9 block size thing.
Yeah, but the thing is, when you do that, if a lot of times when you get a big block in like that, if it's only got a small portion that's really usable, the cost isn't going to be that crazy.
No.
But again, that can be the next.
That'll be the next part. So what else do we need to touch on as far as your ethics and sourcing?
Understand that if you do care about what I'm talking about here and what I care about, if we have a similar viewpoint, understand that you're not going to be perfect. If you buy from someone, then find out later on down the line that they got their source was a shady source, or not, you know, not they were sourcing it illegally or anything like that. Don't let that bother you. Like, just don't buy from anymore. You didn't know. We're all humans. We're not perfect. Mm-hmm. We can't make every option. We can't know everything. We're not on a mission.
Right.
So that's probably something else I'd say. But generally, if you buy from trusted sources, if you don't want to do what I'm doing, if you go to Pops or Jance or Maker Material Supply,
Maritime Knife Supply,
USA Knife Maker, I think is also okay.
Yep.
True Grit, I believe, is also good.
Texas Farrier Supply. There's so many Atlas Materials Supply that are,
and that's just for hand materials that are good to go. All those are good to go. You might be paying more per block or more per set of scales because it's been through more hands to get to them, but you know you're not going to have a problem with it. And if you look, generally, they don't deal with a lot of exotic woods because of how difficult it is and how sketchy it can be.
Yeah, and that's one thing I like. The prime example, Lawrence at Maritime Knife Supply. I wish I would buy more from him, but at the moment, I don't need to. He lists, like, okay, I got these curly maple blocks in different colors. They're all coming out of California.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stuff like that is, like, awesome. He knows where it's coming from, therefore I know where it's coming from. Awesome.
Yeah. If you can get down to where you can find the source easily, it's always great. Part of the reason why I like doing mainly U.S. woods, because within 2 or 3 steps, I can generally find where it was sourced.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I go overseas, a lot of times it's been through 6, 7, 8 hands. And a lot of times the back half of that, I can't get a hold of. So I don't know for sure if it's sourced well or not, or, you know.
So with that being said, knife makers use a lot of wood.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it coming from?
In the U.S., a lot of it's just coming from the U.S. Another one that's very popular is Africa, actually. Wenge, Paduk, a lot of the exotic straight grain woods coming out of Africa. A lot of your more fancy burls, I believe, are coming out of like Indonesia, the Pacific East Pacific area. A lot of it's coming from that way.
So would you, I know when I was starting out 3-4 years ago, we would go to like the woodsmith store and buy board feet of stuff, but I don't think there's a way to tell where they're getting it from. Would you do something like that?
I would if I find a local lumber yard. I'd go there. A lot of times local lumber yards, if you live in an area that's going to have that, they get their woods from local sources. So you're going to find woods that are local to you. If you live in the States, walnut is a great option.
Hickory
can be a great option. Rock maple can be a great option. And all these don't necessarily need to be stabilized. If you get soft maple, it needs to be stabilized, which there's two different types. Generally in the South or in most of the U.S. or lower elevations, you're going to find soft maple. Rock maple is what they get sugar or maple syrup from. So if you can't get maple syrup from it, it's probably just soft maple. You'd want to stabilize.
That's okay. I never knew that. Look, we're learning stuff on the podcast.
But other than that, of course, there's desert ironwood. It's fantastic, and that can be readily sourced in the States.
Yeah, because there's Arizona ironwood, and then there's a lot of ironwood come out of Mexico.
Yeah.
Which, I'm not saying that's illegal, but I know a couple guys that sell Mexican ironwood, and it's basically just a factory of cutting down.
Yeah.
You
can also, if you can find it, mountain mahogany is actually another wood that's super dense. It's the same density as ironwood, actually, desert ironwood. And it's going to have similar working properties. It doesn't have the chatoyancy to the grain from my experience of seeing it. But it's another great wood that if you're just wanting a straight grain, you're going to pay out the wazoo for it because it is such a dense wood. It's so very hard and it doesn't grow fast. But that's another wood that is in the States that you can source. Sycamore is another wood that you can find in the States readily and is fantastic, but it does need to be stabilized. A lot of the woods in the States do need to be stabilized, but they turn out gorgeous.
So when you're doing your sourcing for your business, are you sticking these practices mainly into the woods, or does it go into any of like your synthetic materials, your steels, anything like that? Or is that a lot harder?
Generally, the synthetics and steels are not necessarily harder, but they're just
more controlled.
Steels I generally don't worry about because that's an entire industry that's a lot harder to kind of sneak things through like that. Biggest thing I worry about with steel is just having errors in the steel itself that just are going to happen every once in a while. You're going to have them, or accidentally getting shipped the wrong steel.
Right.
You don't want that. As for synthetic materials, the only thing I'd say is watch out for, or be aware of some synthetic materials like Fordites and things like that, or vintage micartas. That might not actually be
what
they say they are, or might not be of the quality or things like that. I've actually seen, there was one thing I saw where a guy was saying that he was selling it as Fordite, but it was newer. It was off of the new like spray coats, whatever they do. And it was much, much softer than the old, like lacquer coats or whatever it was, the old, thicker. Liquid coats. It was a lot softer than that, and it didn't make as good of a handle, but he was still charging the same prices as the other stuff.
People calling it Fordite when it's really like from a Jeep factory.
Well, Fordite's just
generalized
term. Right. What's more so worrying is saying, oh yeah, this is from this factory that made this specific vehicle, and it's not from that. It can be very difficult to source that. So if you have someone who's telling you very specifically where it's from, ask them how they've got that information and, you know, just talk to them about it.
Nice.
Don't be a butt about it. Don't believe them.
Right.
But, you know, be like, hey, like, do you have any evidence of this? I'm just curious because I'd like to know for sure.
Or, you know, one of my customers might ask, I need to have reliable information or something like that. Yeah. Customers are always curious.
Yeah. And also if you do have any stuff that you get in and then you question about, if a customer does want it, explain that to them. You know, and we'll go more into that in the next one too. Be like, hey, you know, I got it and it was this. I think it might be this instead, or it might not be of the quality of what it's supposed to be, yada yada.
Right.
For synthetics at least.
Okay. So we're coming to the end of the business sourcing sourcing ethics of the Lycian Manor.
Yeah, I'm sure that all of our listeners are riveted by this.
I thought it was great. What's one thing that we missed that you think, or one thing that you feel like we didn't touch on?
I think that pretty well covers it. If you just want to be super safe, just buy modern synthetic materials. Micartas, again, from any of the maker, from any of the places we listed earlier. Micartas, G10s, all those are going to be fine. Carbon fiber is one that might be a little sketchy because I think most carbon fiber does come out of China.
It's also not fun to breathe. So
no, it's not. But neither is micarta or G10.
Yeah, but at least Norplex makes it in Iowa, and I know the factory.
That's true. That's true.
We know where it's at. All right, so like Christian said, if we've made you worried about sourcing woods for your business, it's like we said, I share the same view as Christian. I'm trying to be as ethical as I can when it comes. I don't want anybody getting, hurt. I don't want anybody to have any lawsuits in danger or owe money because somebody came onto the land and stole the tree.
Yeah.
I don't want to support any illegal business practices. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if that's your thing, thanks for listening. If you got any hate mail or you want to bring in something that we didn't discuss on this Christian Corner, hit us up at thecraftrypodcast@gmail.com or hit the message on Instagram. We have the Craftery Podcast Instagram is coming back into action. I have like 6 posts on there that I need to post more on, but we'll get there. Thank you all again for joining us on this journey, listening to us, ramble, share our views, have a good time. And then our next guest will be on. We hope you enjoyed Brandon Franklin's episode. That was a real fun one to record. That one went live last week. And then we should have a couple more fun ones right before Christmas here. And then we'll take the last week of the year off. And then we'll get right back to it in the new year before we hit our year mark. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.